The Team Never Quit podcast is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. Partner up with Navy Federal so you can earn more and save more. You can learn all about this at NavyFederal.org.
Sam Houston, by far the most influential, most impactful governor of the state of Texas. Nobody else even close. He does so many things that are extraordinary, that literally changed the history, not just of Texas, but of this country. He brought Texas into the nation.
Team Never Quit. Team Never Quit Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the TNQ podcast. I'm your host, Marcus Luttrell. Every week, it's my job to fire you up, to ignite the legend inside of you, and to push you to your greatness. Join me every week as I take you into my briefing room with some of the most hard-charging people on the planet. They're going to show you how to embrace the suck of life, teach you the values of working your ass off, and charge through whatever life throws at you. This is the Team Never Quit podcast. So buckle up, Buttercup.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of the Team Never Quit podcast. As always, thank you guys for listening and watching. If you haven't yet, please go hit that like and subscribe button. So today, we are having an unconventional style podcast. We are actually on vacation in San Diego, and we are chilling at the Loft 100 Studios. And thank you guys so much for allowing us to come and use your studio.
Yeah, I'm pretty proud of you. Where'd you find this? Because I threw this on you last minute. We're actually on vacation. This is a vacation trip.
Yeah, we actually...
You had to drive a U-Haul up here from Texas to bring furniture for one of Mel's sisters, Frank, Haley, whatever.
Just drove a U-Haul straight from Houston. It took me 2 days and...
No air conditioning?
No AC in the U-Haul. It was actually the most
miserable
thing.
That's a qual in the family. To do a vehicle drive from Texas across the desert all the way to California with no air
conditioning. It is something I'll never do again.
Maybe the hottest,
Part of the year. Time.
Well, but the hottest period in like decades.
Decades, right?
And all across the southwestern part of the United
Most
States.
Of the drive was 120 degrees.
Yeah, and the AC was blowing hot air.
Yeah, whatever. Uphill both ways, I get it, man.
It was
hard when we did it too.
Truck that you had
with big old
air
truck.
Let me. No offense to U-Haul on this deal, but did they give you a little break on the charge since the air condition didn't work?
No.
Oh,
radio?
Come on.
I was talking to one of these 90s babies, 80s and 90s babies that had a drive with no, you know, XM radio or anything like that.
Oh,
that West Texas drive.
Baby.
Yeah. One Spanish channel, and I don't speak Spanish.
No, if that was the case, I probably would have just pulled over and said, Mom, come pick me up.
All right, so give another where'd you find this place we're at? Because it's nice.
Just online.
Searching
it up. I actually had a recommendation by somebody from that wasn't able to help us out. So,
yeah. Thank you all again for having us.
Yeah, this studio is awesome.
The studio is awesome.
So, yeah, we're here on vacation. My little sister Haley just moved out to San Diego, and
I'm out here on vacation, babysitting my grandson.
Yeah, happy to be out here at the same time.
A week ago, you called, checked in. What's up? I said, well, I'm headed out to San Diego, Coronado Island. I think the kids are going to a soccer match tonight, and we're babysitting Rip. So it's kind of like, well, I'll see you out there. And
what a great name for a grandson.
Yeah. Well, he's you know, his daddy, same business you were in back in the day, and out here on Team 3, and so they keep a place and come out in July, August timetable. So, but anyway, here we are, and literally, this thing kind of got thrown together.
An hour ago at lunch.
Lunch.
You want to go do the podcast with this guy? Yeah, why not?
Hey, what are you doing? Nothing. I got something for you to do.
Cool. I got to pay for my lunch. So,
yeah. And for the listeners, we have Governor Rick Perry next to us. I mean, a man of many accolades, former governor.
Longest serving governor in Texas history, and then Secretary of Energy.
Yep.
United States of America.
And Grandpa.
And
to
Rip. Your grandfather.
Grandfather to Rip and Finn and Ella. And
the circle's complete now.
Piper. Yeah.
It feels different, doesn't it?
Oh, it's awesome, man. I'm going to tell you, greatest thing in the world is being a grandpa, a grandma, and having good, healthy grandkids. Life is good.
Raising the kid, when you were governor in the when Sid and Griff were coming up, would it have been, is it, you think it'd have been just as fun being governor with your grandkids, or is you like it better being out? Just curious.
Oh, I don't know. You know, I don't try to conflate the two.
It's different lives.
Well, it's a different lifestyle, but parent, grandparent, real different.
Check, roger that. I got that. Yeah, absolutely. Dude, yeah, I know. I can see it. I see that. Yeah,
it's going to be different.
Yeah,
and
you've told me that a lot too.
It was, you know, Griffin and Sydney were wonderful children, and they were, you know, never caused us any great heartburn. Never were on the front page of the newspaper for something that they did. You know, that was a blessing. And listen, being the, you know, Hunter, you had a little bit of that, you know, growing up under the shadow, if you will, of an extraordinarily well-known individual. And it's got its challenges. I mean, it's, some people go, oh man, I'd love to be X. And he's kind of like, you know, don't, pray for what you don't know.
Exactly.
It's two-edged sword, let me put it that way. It's
I think you're right.
You wouldn't trade having him as your father ever, but it's always comes with a little extra
talk about that all the time.
We actually talk about this quite a bit.
Like, hey, I hope I did a good job, because I would pick his brain and watch how he did things, because we threw you into the deep end of the pool. Mm-hmm. You should have been a disaster, an absolute disaster when I got a hold of you.
Well, there's still time.
Yeah, there's still time. I mean, you can mess with, you know, talk about it.
Don't want to speak too soon.
I think about that a lot. I was like, because it was chaotic for me and for your mom and the way we go. I mean, I had guidance, but still that life in itself was difficult. We pulled you straight through it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, our children, you know, considering how much spotlight was on them, you know, from whether it was, you know, these were kids that were in Austin High when their dad was the governor and then I ran for president, and they really turned out incredibly
They're
well.
They're awesome kids. How old were they when you got into the governor's office?
Let's see. That was in December of 2000. So Griffin was halfway through his junior year. He graduated in the spring of 2002.
Okay.
And, you know, Griffin always tell people he came. I raised my kids to be loyal Aggies, you know, and which they were and still are. But Griffin's kind of like, you know, Dad, I love you and love Texas A&M, but I think I want to go to school somewhere where they don't know what you do.
Oh.
And
told him to go to LSU.
Well, and I told him, I said, look, you need to go where you want to go, and not where you think I want you to go. Mm-hmm. And so he searched around various and sundry places and ended up in the SEC
at
Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
So, and it all turned out fine.
Went to Vanderbilt.
I don't know what they
should have said. You wanted him to go to Vanderbilt so he wouldn't go there.
Saved me a lot of money. I got the first semester's bill, and I didn't know anything about Vanderbilt. I didn't know where it was. I probably could have told you it was in Nashville, but I'm not sure. And I got the bill, and I said, Nita, I said, they sent us the full 4 years. And she came in and looked at him and went, no, that's first semester.
Oh, my gosh.
Holy mackerel. Who are they teaching him that costs that much money?
Well, that's calling the National Guard. You're going to send the governor a bill like this?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, it all turned out fine.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
he's
then
doing
Sid
great.
Was an Aggie, so you
and
got...
And I get to go to heaven because Sydney went to A&M.
Yeah.
So it all worked out.
Nice. Got through it.
Yeah.
Both of them got through it.
Oh.
Well.
I love that. Well, I think it's awesome that you're here, because we were actually on this show before we knew you were going to be here. We were planning on doing something called the Texas Tidbits, and we're going to start Texas Tidbits for every podcast moving forward. We're going to just spend a couple of minutes talking about something Texas, and this could be a historical fact. It could be a trivia.
We're the best barbecue place in
Texas.
Yes, so you got a big migration.
What a great idea. I mean, I got to tell you, Mel, that is, I mean, people are going to be.
Yeah.
Now, that's a hook to get people to subscribe.
I think so.
Come back every week, so. Find out what the new Texas tidbit
yes.
is.
Yes.
That's awesome. Well,
so you got the Californians place? and migrating to us, the Oregons, the orcas. Mm-hmm. We call them orcas, right? Oregon, California. migrating into Texas. So we got to. You got to teach them some of the lingo and how to talk.
Yeah, and like the etiquette.
Like history.
Etiquette.
Like, hey, if you're ever, if people question you about your Texas background, everything, just say this.
Yeah.
It's like give them the.
Just give them the information.
The high points.
The little.
In the beginning. Yeah.
Here's some Texas tidbits.
Yeah.
Maybe a good book one of these days they write. You know, a little pamphlet. Here you go.
Yeah. Yeah, we talked about that.
Keep these up. Yeah, yeah. That work out.
Keep these. Make. We'll put these down in a little book, and then here, you know, in a year, we'll be
that
able
be
to have
book,
the Team Never Quit Texas pamphlet.
It's got to be big enough to keep in your back pocket.
Yeah. So when
you can slide
when you're
it over
to Texas,
you know,
here, just read this, and you'll be ready.
Or have it on the back of the toilet, like whatever.
Places you sit down, and stare for a long while. We need to narrow all those down. One being the toilet, the car.
Okay.
So my vote, I wanted to vote today without him even being here. Who is the best governor of Texas?
Let me take that one, okay?
Okay.
Seriously. That's an incredibly interesting question. You know, you think about it, I think we've had 48 governors in Texas history, started in 1845. I was an animal science major. You do the math on that, how many years it's been. But here's my read on that.
Hold on, that LSU education, give me the numbers.
Okay, hold on.
Give him another chance.
Yeah.
Oh, man, you think about. So I got to stay in the governor's mansion for 14 plus years. And, you know, I kind of pride myself knowing my Texas history pretty good. Living in that house and kind of communing with the spirits that have lived there. That house was built in 1856. So you had Sam Houston was the first governor to move in there. And, of course, Governor Abbott's there now after, I think, 48th governor is correct. But I've got two. I've got two governors that, from my perspective and my history in Texas and what have you, and you think about, I'm a kid who grew up in a very rural part of Texas, dry land cotton farm, so agriculture background, went to that little tiny Paint Creek rural school, had 13 in my graduating class, went off to Texas A&M, got an animal science degree. So agriculture has an inordinate impact on me, as it did on the state of Texas, still does, but you think historically. But the greatest governor in Texas history, nobody even comes in a close second, in my opinion, Marcus, Sam Houston. Mm-hmm. And you think about it, this guy came out of Tennessee, he was the governor of Tennessee, he's been the president of the Republic of Texas, he was a United States senator, and then he was the governor of the state of Texas. And there's another little side story that I'm not going to tell this evening, but I will suggest to you that he probably could have been elected president of the United States had he stayed in the race in 1860, but he stepped away at the request of his wife. And had Sam Houston stayed and won, I don't think we'd have had a civil war. Because he was the kind of guy that had the ability to bring the northern states, who really respected him as a United States senator, and the southern states together. And we could have missed that very difficult time for the country. Sam Houston, by far the most influential, most impactful governor of the state of Texas. Nobody else even close. Mm-hmm. And when you think about this guy, he created the Republic of Texas. I mean, he kept us together. He's the guy that did the runaway scrape, and we won our independence at the San Jacinto on April the 21st, 1836. I mean, and then he does so many things that are extraordinary, that literally changed the history, not just of Texas, but of this country. He brought Texas into the nation. He was the catalyst that did all. I mean, so Sam Houston, nobody else even close. Sam Houston, greatest governor there ever was. Second greatest.
Real quick, fact about Sam Houston, true or not, that when he left his house, his mom sent him with the ring.
Looks just like this.
Yes. And said, I'd rather you, wait, no, you say
it. The ring is God.
Hold on now. Hold on.
The ring had engraved inside the word honor.
Okay.
H-O-N-O-R. And she gave him that ring. and she gave him a musket. Because he was going off to fight the Indians with Andrew Jackson. And she said, and remember, my son, my door of the cottage will be forever open to a courageous man of honor. But it will be closed forever to a coward.
Dang.
That's your mom, Dylan.
That's your mama.
That one hits deep.
That's like your mom.
You said that to me. I'll bring your ass
that
back here.
Marcus's
now
mom.
Now I understand where he got it, why he was such an incredible man. And he had his foibles. He had his failures. He, you know, went off and got drunk after his first wife wouldn't consummate their marriage and told him, I don't love you, and, you know, I'm just marrying you for the upward mobility of my family.
Gosh.
And it broke his heart. Dang. And he left, literally quit being the governor of Tennessee and went and lived with the Indians and stayed drunk for a couple of years.
No way. I did not know that.
Yeah, his nickname was Big Drunk.
That's right.
That was his nickname with the Indians. And then he, you know, he came around and went to Texas, and that's where he met Margaret Lee. And she was, I want to say, like 20 years his junior, the daughter of a very devout Presbyterian pastor, if my memory serves me correct, but a man of God. And she proselyted him, brought him to Christ. And as a matter of fact, you were with me.
I was with you.
I got baptized.
I was there too.
You were there too.
I was there.
I got baptized in the same little creek right outside of Independence, Texas, where Sam Houston was
That's pretty sweet.
Baptized.
Oh, you'd have to be looking for it to find it.
Yeah, you had to be. And the greatest story of that, Lyndon Baines Johnson's grandfather was a pastor, and he's the pastor who baptized Sam Houston.
Wow.
And they're out there, and this little tributary runs down into the Brazos River. And he full-on dunked him, and when he brought him back up, he looked over at him, and he said, all your sins are washed away. And Sam Houston looked at him and said, I pity the poor fish downstream.
Yeah. It's all in there.
Yeah. Woo, man.
You said you don't need a dunk.
But a great man. Incredibly great man. Second greatest governor, in my opinion, Dolph Briscoe. A lot of people go, Dolph Briscoe.
Yeah.
Dude, come on, man. Why Dolph Briscoe? Dolph Briscoe was a rancher from South Texas. This is 1972 to 78, that time frame. He was elected to 1 2-year term. Prior to 1973, we elected governors for only 2 years at a time. And then they changed it to where they ran and were elected for 4-year terms. So he had 6 years as governor. And during his time as a elected official, he did two things that substantially changed the course of Texas history. One of them was that he helped put into place the farm-to-market road system. For, you know, a century, Texas had these old dirt roads and you couldn't get around. And, you know, when we put hot-top asphalt roads in and connected all of our small rural communities, it economically just really changed the dynamic in the state of Texas. And if for no other reason, that I will suggest to you probably had as much impact on Texas as anything in modern history, let me put it that way, certainly since the 1950s when that was put into place. The second thing he did, though, most people really scratch their head on, because we're an urbanized state. People don't know as much about the agricultural community or, for that matter, the livestock, wildlife community. Mm-hmm. And he helped put into place the screwworm eradication program. And most Texans would have that look on their face right there.
Is.
Screwworm eradication, yeah. What in the world is that? So prior to the 1940s, there was a fly that would land on a flesh cut or on the navel of a newborn calf or a newborn baby deer, a fawn. And those eggs turned into larvae that were flesh-eating larvae, killed literally tens of thousands of baby calves, baby deer, and it was devastating to the agriculture community. and short story on this is they irradiated these male flies, and then they dropped them all over South Texas from airplanes and little boxes, and they broke open, and the flies went out, and they bred the female flies with bullets.
Like that did he were do blanks. That through A&M?
Did you learn that?
Texas A&M was part of it, okay. The Extension Service.
Yeah.
And then it was a federal program
He
was the United States Congressman, when Doff was a congressman. So, but it was that vision and the implementation of that vision and the understanding of how important agriculture economically was for the foundation of Texas. Still a very important part of the Texas economy. You know, we're very diverse now. But those two things that he did, I will suggest to you, put him in the number two slot comfortably. From my perspective, I'll let somebody else argue that. You know, Sam Houston is not arguable, but
well,
there you go.
I would say the farm-to-market roads, I mean, where we live...
Think about it.
Almost all of our roads are FM roads, which a lot of people don't know are farm-to-market roads.
Those were still old gravel roads. There wasn't very much economy going on.
Like FM 1960.
Yeah.
We've got...
There you go.
249.
Thank you, Doff Risco.
Yeah.
You know why the roads are the size they are, the freeways, why we have them like that?
Why is that?
It's for military purpose. So we move tanks down, and we can lock this place down.
And you know the other reason...
Eisenhower that did that?
Well, the Eisenhower, that's the interstate highway system.
Yeah.
Somebody need to do back up on this, but I think I'm correct in this. Every 5 miles, you have to have a straight 1 mile... piece of road.
Is that true?
So if there's like a curve in the road,
you got to have a straight piece of road every 5 miles, so that if you need to land aircraft, you can.
Huh? I never knew that.
Interesting. Yeah,
that could prove difficult in some of our terrain.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, since you're here, we're just
interstate highways, not on farm market roads and state highways and whatever. But on the interstate system, that was part of it because Eisenhower had seen the Audubon system when he was the commander as the end of the war, the Supreme Allied Commander, and he was stationed outside of Wiesbaden, Germany, at a big kind of a mansion, castle there, which one of the great stories there is that he brought the Seabees in. The war is over with, so they're kind of going through the reconstruction, if you will, and he was there for a short period of time, and he brought the Seabees in to put him a 9-hole golf course.
Oh, my gosh.
And there's still 9 holes.
What a guy.
Still there?
I think it's, you know, it's obviously 18 or maybe even more than
that. Oh, my gosh.
But there's 9 holes at this place right outside of Wiesbaden where he came in and said, boys, they'd build me a golf course here.
So they didn't have
much to do.
Germany?
Wiesbaden. Yeah, back. Wiesbaden's, I'm going to say, just west of Frankfurt. Yeah.
Okay, so what
there you go. A little bit of Texas.
I love that. A little bit of Texas trivia from, I think, the greatest governor of Texas history.
Yeah, I've got to give you my...
I get you with Sam. I get that.
Yeah.
I mean, everything that he did, you study him in Texas history.
But you are the longest standing governor in Texas history.
Yeah, got that one for a while.
You did bring in some of the biggest diversity of businesses into Texas.
You recruited a lot of businesses.
You brought a lot of the Silicon Valley people into Austin.
Governing is not hard.
Well, for some people it is.
Don't overtax, don't overregulate, don't overlitigate, and have a skilled workforce.
And don't golf.
That's hilarious. Don't waste your time golfing.
Don't waste your time golfing.
I love people that can golf. I admire them because it is one of the hardest things I ever tried to do in my life.
I remember the first time I asked you if you wanted to go play golf, and you looked at me like I was crazy. I was like, I thought all y'all golf. That's what you do.
I think if we can just spend the rest of this time of y'all telling the story of the first time y'all met, because a lot of people don't know that connection.
Where were then?
Let me tell you something. There's a lot of more great stories out there with me and this Joker than that some of them are to the grave. Remember that one where you're like, oh, hey.
No, I'm talking about the public one of you at the Buds compound. And it was, and the reason I bring this up is because we are in San Diego right now. And we're staying at the Dell in Coronado.
Where it all started.
So this is where your relationship started.
End of July.
The same time.
2006.
So the same exact time, and this is all by coincidence that we're all here together. So if you could tell our listeners.
Want me to riff?
Yeah, go ahead.
So 2006, I'm in an election contest. So
I didn't know this.
It was my, and you were governor. You were acting governor.
I'm sitting governor in an election in November of 06. It's the summer. Anita, my wonderful, long-suffering wife, she says, I want to take you on a vacation. I don't like to vacation because I got ADD really bad. And so I'm kind of like, you know, to go somewhere and stay for 4 days.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She said, there's this great old hotel that some friends of ours told us about at right outside of San Diego on Coronado Island. It's called the Hotel Dell. And I'm like, oh, great. I'm going to go sit on the beach for 4 days. Rather have my... So security detail goes out a day early. They're on, is it Orange Boulevard?
Yep, on Orange.
They were on Orange Boulevard at a little breakfast nook and to meet the California Highway Patrol so they can coordinate the governor's visit, right? Kind of big burly guy, slicked off hair, was in there, and my detail guy thought that was who's come over, and he said, are you here for the governor? This guy looked at him and said, what governor are you talking about? And he said, Governor Perry. And he goes, nope, but I vote for him every chance I get. So that fella happened to be a F-18 pilot who was a JTAC, who was about to deploy with SEAL Team 5. He gave him the card and said, hey, if the governor would like to go through the Special Warfare Center, love to give him a tour.
And that was Jake Elzey?
That was now Congressman
Jake
Elzey. By the grace of God. Now, you talk about God having his fingerprints all over us.
He was Jake was assigned to me as a pilot. So he was an F-18 pilot and a JTAC, Joint Tactical Air Controller, right? They call bombs off the planes to the ground. Mm-hmm. That's usually a ground pounder's position, but for whatever reason, we were allowed to have two pilots. He was one of them, and he had just been assigned to our troop. He was eating breakfast, and that's how that happened.
So... I got there, guy gave me the card and said, hey, I ran to this guy and said, if you'd like to see the Naval Special Warfare Center. And I'm kind of like, awesome.
Yeah.
Anything rather than having to just sit on the beach. So we made the deal. You know, we called, made Saturday morning, meet at the gate over there at 9 o'clock. So Jake walks through.
Saturday morning.
Saturday morning. Ain't got anything going on Saturday morning. These boys are just resting. Because y'all are doing work up, you're fixing to go, and this is the same, this is a year after Operation Red Wings, from May, end of May, 13 months, there, 14 months, something like that.
Yeah.
So we get there, Jake has walked over to the enlisted quarters and said, hey, does anybody want to give a VIP tour? And everybody's like, you know, get the hell out of here.
It was more intense than that. We're like, you get out of here with that, man. No way.
He said, well, it's the governor of Texas. And so Marcus went, I'll go. I'm from Texas.
He said, it's the governor. And I thought it was Schwarzenegger. And I was like, you know, I'll get a new guy to do that, man. I just gotten out of the hospital. And I was doing my physical therapy. And I was just kind of laying there. He's like, nah, you know, it's the governor of Texas. I was like, oh, all right, I'll do it.
So anyway, 9 o'clock we get there, do the tour. It was a fascinating tour. Took a couple hours.
Real quick, though, I think one of the funniest things when Marcus saw y'all get out of the car.
Yeah, so the first...
He has to say this.
First person to walk out was Lady Perry, his wife, which I thought she was the governor. I've been in the military so long that... I didn't know. It was Ann Richards was the governor and all this stuff. Like, I didn't know. So she comes, beautiful lady too. So I'm like,
and she looks.
She looks
so
like a governor.
Royal.
She carries herself like a royal. I mean,
so beautiful and
she is wonderful. And she comes walking up to me, and I was just mesmerized. I was like, Governor, how you doing? I'm gonna show you around.
Hilarious.
And then he comes out, and he's got his collared shirt on, A&M with his slacks. And he comes over and tries to talk to him. I'm like, whatever, buddy. Hey, Miss Perry, this and the other. And then I was like, how you doing? And he's like, hey, I'm Governor Perry. I'm like. damn. How you doing, sir? You know, I didn't know.
I'm not sure I ever knew that.
Yeah. He tells that behind closed doors.
Yeah, really. Thanks for busting me right here in public.
I swear.
I thought it was so funny.
It was only for a second. I was just drawing.
Well, besides, yeah. Okay. Well, okay, let's get that on. You know, okay. You finally got out of that trap.
That was funny.
We finish it up, and Jake, we're shaking hands, and you know, we're saying, hey, why don't you guys have dinner with us tonight? We'll be happy to buy you dinner to say thank you for your time. And we're leaving, and Jake says, did Marcus tell you? I didn't even know what his name was. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was big old tall drink of water with his camis on. Mm-hmm. Luttrell. Other than that, he said, did Marcus tell you where he was last weekend? I was like, no. He said yes sir once and no sir once. And he said, well, he was at the White House receiving the Navy Cross. And I know what the Navy Cross is. And so I just let that register and go on about our business. See you boys this evening at such and such place to have dinner. I went back to the room and typed in Marcus Luttrell in my computer. After about the fifth page of nothing, he pops up on some list of, you know, 30 something people, you know, 5-day meal plan award or something. I don't know. Just, you know, something. Yeah.
That's funny.
And I was kind of like, but during the end of that conversation, there was something about the term Operation Red Wings. Mm-hmm. And I put that in the computer and then it blew up. And I'm kind of like, and that there was one survivor of this mm-hmm. event. And I put two and two pretty quick and came up with who this kid really was. That evening, we had a great dinner.
Talked.
I don't remember the name of it.
It was on that deck.
Yeah, it's back over on the...
I think about it all the time.
It's back on the east side of the island. I couldn't tell you what
on
the name
Coronado?
Of it. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
We got to go back.
Yeah.
So anyway, long story short, one of the guys who was having dinner with us asked a lot of uncomfortable questions to him. Mm. And because he was still real raw, physically, mentally.
Somebody that was with you?
Mm-hmm. Mm. And we're leaving. I get him to give me his mother's phone number. And as I've told probably hundreds of people, mm-hmm. you ever through Austin, look me up. Yes. Come by and say hello.
Yeah.
Fat chance, right? You're going to come by the governor's mansion.
Right. That's literally walled.
Yeah.
In security.
Armed guards.
Yeah, right. It's as
easy a throwaway line as a governor has. Hey, come by and see me. If you're ever in town, come by and see me.
Yeah. Just like looking up at Bob Smith in the yellow book.
I go back. I call his mom and said, hey, Miss Luttrell, had a visit with your son. He's doing quite well, and I told him I'd give you a call if you ever need me. Here's my phone number. And I go on about my business. That was in August, first week of August of 2006. You know, I got a campaign to run and state to run, and I don't forget about you, but...
I sent two text messages while I was over, one when I got there and the one when I was coming back, and he sent one back and said, prayers answered.
In Iraq.
When I was in Iraq, yeah.
Because you left. He
right after dinner.
Texas, you go on
right after
to
dinner,
Iraq.
Almost, the next day.
With your brother.
With my brother, him.
Morgan.
Yeah.
These two back in Luttrell boys and Jake Elzey and
Jake
the rest
was there,
of
SEAL
Team 5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ramadi, Anbar, probably in '06.
Anyway, May of 07, legislative session's over with, or getting close to being over with, and I'm sitting in the governor's mansion. And a phone rings. It's the security detail. sir. There's some young man down here who said that you told him that the next time he was in Austin to come by to see you, and he's here.
I parked at the front gate with my truck hanging out.
Serious.
Two lanes of traffic.
Do not doubt that.
Come out of the gate, it goes into
one
a freeway.
Bit.
I was just sitting there and got out, and I was punching the gate. The guy's like, what the hell are you doing? And like, he told me to show up.
What's his name? It's Marcus Luttrell. I was kind of like, all right.
Oh, my gosh.
So he walks in.
That happened.
That is May of 07, and he leaves permanently. Leaves in August of 09. So lives with us, not every day. I mean, but
I had to work.
You know, and if you'll recall, the governor's mansion. We leave the governor's mansion. The arsonist tries to burn it down, and so we live 5 years off campus.
Yeah.
We live in a three floor home. And the top room is just, it's kind of wide open. You walk up the stairs and you're in the room, but it's got a bathroom. It's got a little kitchenette and what have you. And we put him a bed up there
your desk.
Yeah, that's right. And he knew he could come and go. And as he, in the detail, you know,
they were great.
They took care of him. And so anyway, he lived with us for a long time. And it was, there were some difficult times.
Oh, so difficult. It was awesome.
I can only imagine because I'm married.
Well, it facilitated all my physical recovery too, sending me to the hospitals, and then Lady Perry was a nurse and flew me everywhere, and just
we threw a lot of Jello at the Wall Street.
Hey, man, trying to get you right. Well. Yeah, finally got
and
me
you
there.
You did. You got him.
Well, I don't know about that. He met a really good girl. I always give credit to what really saved his life, other than just God's. Intervention was meeting you.
All right, I tell you. Well, here now.
Don't argue with me on that one.
I'm not. No,
trust me on this.
We've had that talk.
Yeah.
But I mean, most people don't know that on top of running the state and having your own kids, man, you just having to deal with me. I was a freaking 6'5", 280-pound Navy SEAL train wreck Texan.
Yeah.
We parked up in the attic.
I know.
There would be diplomats and dignitaries come over from different countries and be sitting in the kitchen, and I'd come bebopping down from the attic. Just my hair would be all adrift. My shirt, I'm all yoked out. I'm like, what's
probably
up?
Probably in gym shorts.
just, you know.
Who's that?
Eating ice cream, eating Bluebell out of the
thing. Yeah, just going straight to
2 in the morning, and these people are freaking out. I'm like, hey, don't worry about it. Everything's secure. You know, let's go back to the attic and watch reruns of House for years on end. You know what I'm talking about? But it was
great. It all turned out good.
Yeah, man.
All turned out good. You know, and Morgan came into that mix and all the stuff that he had going on. And Axios. What's the name of that? Well, it was called Athletes Performance.
Yeah, it's still
initially.
Yeah, it's Exos now.
Exos.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was Andrews when I first went there.
Yeah.
So I haven't missed a year.
Yeah.
And
Jim Andrews.
Jim.
Great physician.
Oh. Man.
Great physician.
That's a whole different topic. Yeah, those people down there, man. They're just, when y'all sent me there, that was a game changer.
Jim Andrews is, I think, probably, well, not probably. He is the finest orthopedic surgeon.
He's about to work on me again.
He's the team coach at Auburn, team coach at Alabama. Go figure that one out, right? Yeah. That's how good he is.
Yeah, right. Crossing the streams like that.
Two of the
that
best
Joker in there?
Football programs in America. And who's your team coach? Jim Andrews.
That's gosh. Yep,
he's that good.
Well, now at Exos, all those athletes from every university go in there trying to make it in the program.
Yeah.
They've really done something well.
Yeah, they've done some great things. So anyway. Well, here we are 17 years later, still making a difference.
Even governor and then secretary of energy. We had a blast that was a crazy run.
That was where I got my eyes opened up about the issue of psychedelics for veterans' mental health. And
I don't remember the coolest thing you told me when you called me up. I was like, hey, you like a new job? He's like, I'm in charge of Area 51. Thank you, God. That's all I needed to hear, because I mean, I went out and had a badge made and a uniform, got pictures and creds, Men in Black right here, man.
I saw those.
That was most interesting job I ever had.
I bet.
That's true. Not the best job. Governor's the best job, but
he still does that if someone says come over, like just as a passing, like goodbye, parting thing, like, oh, hit me up if you're ever in town. We were at the Naval Academy. Marcus was honored this year as an honorary grad.
Yeah, and listen, just for all the listeners out there, that's a big deal.
It's a big deal.
Okay, it's the coolest qual I got.
Really big deal.
It's the coolest qual I got. And we got to meet with the chancellor of the university and Vice Admiral Buck.
Superintendent.
Superintendent. Yep. Very, very, very awesome guy, and his wife. His wife was also honored at that.
She's my classmate.
Yeah. Yeah, they were both.
Oh, well, y'all brought in? That's pretty cool.
It was really cool.
Let me tell you,
it was really cool. So anyway, he says, next time you're in town, hit me up. And I don't even think we exchanged info. Well, we go back to Annapolis a couple of weeks later, and we go onto the Naval Academy campus, just walking around. There are signs everywhere, just like at the Governor's Mansion, that say, do not enter these premises, private property, you know, all of these things telling you not to go there. And Marcus just walks right up and he's banging on the door, and Axe and Addy are like, Dad, no, Dad, you're going to get shot. Because there's guards everywhere, and he's just up there banging on the door.
Licking on the glass, looking in there, trying to find her. It was raining. It was raining, too.
Y'all were classmates.
Classmates. Yeah. That's what I was telling her, too. I was like, hey, it's Marcus. Answer the door.
Because there's like a Ring camera thing, and he's going, it's Marcus.
Oh, it's set up just like the Governor's Mansion, too. So the downstairs is for all the people, and then the back quarters are for the...
Oh.
I didn't know that.
So well, nobody was there. Nobody answered the door, and he finally walked away from the threshold of the door, and I was like...
Don't invite me over. I'll show up.
Marcus will show up if you leave that invitation hanging out there.
That was a good time. That whole area up there, Annapolis, and that whole university. If you don't know about West Point and Annapolis, behind those dismal walls, I mean, everyone stays awake. If you get past there, though, it's something.
Yeah, our military academies, particularly West Point and the Naval Academy, are a lot of history there. And you think about, you know, all the history at West Point, the history at the Naval Academy, the men, women who have gone to school there.
We've had presidents come out of there.
Oh, yeah. Well, and you think about some extraordinarily bittersweet stories when our country went through the war between the states, and young men who had graduated together and then faced each other on the battlefield.
How crazy had that had to be for us to fight each other?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's the worst war we ever had. More people probably died the worst way. No one can kill each other like family.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, and we're supposed to
learn our lesson in that one, so we don't do that again.
It goes back to that whole Sam Houston story that had he, you know, woulda, coulda, shoulda, but had he been elected president of the United States, how potentially he could have kept this country from ripping itself apart through the strife that we had in the Civil War.
Who came in after Jefferson Davis?
You mean as the
governor of Texas?
Well, Davis was never he was the president of the Confederacy.
Okay, check. Roger that. Yep. But when we got back online.
Oh, in
not to put you on the spot.
Oh,
that had to be the worst time to be.
Davis. His name was Davis, and Edmund J. Davis was the Reconstruction governor of Texas. So in 1866, there were, when Reconstruction was going along, Edmund J. Davis was put into office probably by Grant, if my memory serves me correctly. Well, Grant was the president then, and in the late 60s, Grant came in, and they would have served together. Edmund J. Davis, interestingly, was a Texan from Laredo, if my memory serves me correct on that, and he did not believe in the whole concept of secession and what have you, and he literally left and served
north
with the Union forces as a brigadier general.
Wow.
And then so they put him back into place, and I think he served for 4 or 5 years. And Texas was going through, I mean, Reconstruction is terrible.
Oh, it's got to be the worst.
Terrible period of time. Anyway, long story short, he literally got run out of office. And that started a long period until 1978.
My gosh.
Of Democrat elected governors in Texas. So Bill Clements was the first to, since Reconstruction, 18. What Reconstruction is over with in 1876, I think.
My God.
Somewhere in there.
That's
anyway.
Crazy.
Some good Texas history.
Well, that was an awesome Texas episode, because from now on, we will actually have Texas tidbits.
Oh, I ask him questions. I still call him all the time. Like, hey, how many counties we got in this state?
254.
And
254.
254.
Yeah.
And then, and like, hey, tell me some towns that I hadn't been.
And somebody says, you've been to all of them, right? And I was going like,
no.
You haven't?
Oh, Lord, no. I mean, I was the agriculture commissioner. I was
still didn't hit all of them.
And I was the governor. And I still didn't go to all of them.
I thought you would have been on every.
I've been to a lot of them, but I did.
No, okay, technically, we're talking about there's a difference between through and stopping and like to drive through
everyone.
Probably not, really.
You don't think?
Texas.
There's a lot of counties where there are people.
Out there.
Well, I feel like I've been to so many places with y'all.
I still hear towns all the time.
Well, I've been to a lot of them.
One of my cool, and we'll wrap up now, but one of the coolest things that I have from when my, one of my memories of y'all being, you and Anita being in office is I got to go with her to one of the Main Street things. And Texas has this Main Street program where they go in, the state will help kind of build up the infrastructure to bring in businesses to old towns that have the old Main Street.
Tourism.
Yeah, tourism and whatnot.
And those kind of things.
That is one of the neatest things that I think
she
Texas
was really
does.
Good at that.
Yeah.
And, you know, no offense, but she was probably one of the more proactive, engaging, you know, really believed in the. Those little small towns.
Yeah, I love that. I love that she did that. That was awesome.
You pull in, that's my favorite thing. You pull in the little Texas towns and you can see them. They're all made of brick or something. There's railroad tracks go through the middle of town.
Great. Do you want to end with giving your top five small towns in Texas? Top five faves?
That's like,
man, that's we get like, trouble for that. If you leave one out.
That's like, which one of your
Because I wouldn't even have said my hometown, right? But my hometown's obviously the best one. Okay. I'm not walking into that trap.
Well, I love Round Top. So Round Top is one of the greatest.
Round Top's a great, you know, not just because we live in that area, but it is a great little town.
And Fayetteville, all of the
There's
Fayette
so many.
County.
Listen, that is an impossible task. You literally couldn't put, now, you know, it's kind of like best barbecue places in Texas.
Yeah.
That's, you know. This fight start over crap like that, man.
I mean, there's so many of them. You know, Truth Barbecue.
Yeah.
You know,
Franklin's Tejas.
Leonard,
you go all
Leonard
day
Botel.
Yeah. Really can't go wrong.
His crew.
Yeah.
They moved into Round Top now.
Yeah.
They run a place called Merit Meat Company.
Hey, but Royers owns Round Top.
Yeah.
But there's like six.
I'm just going to throw that out for JB.
Yeah. There's like six legitimate restaurants in town. I mean, of course, Royers is kind of like in a. They're in a league of their own.
Yeah,
exactly right. They are. God, man, they're chicken on Sunday.
If you do come into Texas, though, you need to hit a Whataburger, a Bucky's, and hit a Blue Bell ice cream. You got to have a Texas hat trick.
Yeah. And then stop at Shiner and have a Shiner beer.
Yeah, beer and a beer.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for coming on vacation. Thank
first
y'all
Texas
for
tidbit,
coming
yeah,
in.
Right?
Texas
thank you so
tidbit.
Much.
I just made some history.
Yeah.
Did the first Texas tidbit.
Yes. Thank you.
There you go. Thank you guys for tuning in. We'll see you next week.